success looks so easy from the outside, but all successful people have had to overcome enormous obstacles along the way, and in many cases, look failure right in the eye. Most successful people don't focus on the struggle, and they rarely talk about it because that's not what creates success. Join us here, where we'll chat with serial entrepreneurs, both men and women, and share the good, the bad, and the ugly of entrepreneurship. We'll talk about the obstacles we faced and how to overcome them to reach the success that you desire. I am your host, Cami Lehman, and this is She's Invincible. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on She's Invincible. And we have an invincible one to introduce you to today. Previously with a large Wall Street firm, Jane Stein was a certified financial planner for over 25 years and provided comprehensive wealth management solutions for a large base of families, representing over 250 million in assets. She wrote an investment column and established a program called Money Matters for Women in an effort to empower women to take charge of their investments. Now she helps men and women achieve financial security through business ownership, which is far more empowering. With her financial background, she's uniquely qualified to guide you through the process to identify and evaluate the right business model, and then later can help secure funding to open your business. Oh my gosh, Jane Stein, welcome to She's Invincible.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I like to share information about franchises because people have so many misconceptions. It's great when I go to a cocktail party and everybody's like, what do you do? Because everybody's fascinated. What? What's yes. the hot franchise? What do you mean you're a franchise broker?
Yes. Anyway, and you know, nice I love what you're doing, empowering women, because I truly believe that if we can get more money in the hands of women, the world would be a better place. And 100%. So I love that. And I'm so excited to jump in. So let's do this. Let's tell our listeners, how in the world did you get where you are today? And what makes you invincible?
Okay. Well, let's see. So in my late 20s, I became a stockbroker. And that's a funny story. We'll go into that later with what was then E.F. Hutton. And I stayed in that field and rose through the ranks and was a top producer and blah-de-blah-de until 9/11. And I basically was extremely burned out. We were living in Houston, Texas. I was very unhappy. I'm sure there's people who are listening to this that can relate to this. I was extremely successful. And I didn't love it. It was repetitive. I wasn't learning anything anymore. I just woke up with a pit in my stomach. Oh, it's a weekday. I have to go in and have these same conversations. I mean, once I loved my relationships. I loved my clients, obviously. It was just extreme burnout. I had two little boys, one which had pretty profound learning differences and needed a lot of interventional therapies. And when 9/11 happened, I turned to my husband and I said, we got to get off of this wheel. We got to go somewhere where we can show these boys what it's like to have a happy life, to have a good marriage, and to have an outdoor life and some balance. And I wanted my boys to be raised with four seasons, you know, instead of one, basically, one long one and one crappy 4 month rain one. I wanted them to be in a small town where they could go to public schools and be well educated. And I wanted to be in a community where it was cool to be quirky because I had a quirky kid. And so I picked Boulder, Colorado, and over the ensuing 3 years, we developed our transition plan and we more or less retired very young. I was 47. The hub was 55. We moved to Boulder, Colorado, and, you know, lived the dream. I wanted to be in my kids' classroom. I wanted my kids to come home to me every day after school and for me to send them off to school. And so it was an amazing time and a wonderful time. And then cut to my oldest goes to college, and I am a little freaked out, and B, really wanting something more. And I realized two or three things. I haven't added them up because I'm just kind of winging it here. But one, I missed business. Two, I missed making money. Can I say that?
Yes.
And three, I missed intellectual engagement on a pretty high level that I was used to. So the long and short is I thought I would buy a franchise because literally, Cammie, this was my understanding. We had capital, right? I thought you just threw money at it, not a lot of money, but whatever. And the franchise ran it for you. And I got to say I was a business owner. Literally, this is what I thought it was. And I start clicking around on the internet, you know, send me more information about this XYZ franchise. And I am telling you, my phone lit up with bad salesmen and the light bulb went off. Opportunity, right?
Yeah. Here, yes.
There's these intermediaries and they're not very good. And, you know, I'm good with people and I know things and I know money and I know investments. So anyway, that's where it started. And I became a franchise broker. Yeah.
I love that story so much. And I love what you said about what you missed, the business, the money, earning your own money, and the intellectual engagement. Isn't that the truth that those are three really, they're almost like basic needs when it comes to women after their kids are starting to leave, right? It's like, we get lost in the identity of being the parent. And then we were like, well, now what? And I think that's so interesting that you're bringing that up and really speaking to that. So,
and I just want to say, I don't think it's everyone, you know, right? I mean, I have I have friends who lunch and go to the country club and it all good for them. I just had more, it's probably anxiety and, you know, wiggles. I just needed something more stimulation, but honestly, not everybody does, but I'm guessing the people that are listening to your podcast and your TV show are like me.
Yeah, I think so. And for me, yeah, I was going to say I'm kind of both, right? I love all the things that you mentioned, but I do like to lunch and go to the country club. And that's what I love about entrepreneurship. I can do both, right?
That's true.
So yeah. So tell us what makes you invincible.
I would say I have always had a lot of chutzpah. I have a lot of tenacity. I mean, I will stick with the project till the bitter end. I don't give up. And finally, I've just always had a very strong work ethic. I grew up with a workaholic father who was in retail. We literally never saw him. And I just thought that's what grownups do. And I modeled him, not my mom, who was a stay-at-home wife. She was lovely, but I just was him. I don't know. And so I have a really strong work ethic.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, that leads us right into what we're talking about today. As you talked about the strong work ethic is just, you know, right now you're in doing franchise brokerage. You're helping other people start franchises, right? So let's talk about why would someone want to either leave the comfort of home or leave corporate America and go to franchising and start a franchise?
I mean, I guess I would say not everyone would want to, right? If somebody has always had the calling to own their own business, they will say in that first conversation with me, I've always wanted to own my own business. I think it's an entrepreneurial belly fire. You have it or you don't. Unless you're somebody we'll talk about a second category of people who I call forced entrepreneurs. But generally speaking, it's somebody who always wanted to own their own business. They don't have the big idea. They don't have the big product. They don't have the big service. They don't want to just be a consultant working from home. Franchising allows somebody to 100% reinvent and do something maybe that follows your something you've always been passionate about, like animals or seniors, or it allows you to, get into something that you can find a lot of meaning and be part of your community. And you don't have to have any of the knowledge of the industry. In fact, they don't want people with the knowledge of the industry. They want people who have leadership skills, depending on the franchise, people who have managed people, people who can work their way around a balance sheet and spreadsheets. They're going to teach you the business. They're going to teach you everything you need to know about pest control or whatever it happens to be. Sure. They'll help you market. They'll do all the sales. So it allows you to completely do something different. And there's a playbook. It's much less likely you will fail. Not to say people don't fail in franchises, but the percentage odds are so much higher, especially if it's an established brand that has some history that you can research. So higher likelihood of success. You get to do something totally different. You get to have a lot of flexibility in your life. That's why you and I like being business owners. We get to travel. Yes. You're working from Aruba. Are we going to say that?
We could say that. Anybody who knows me knows that's where I am in February and March. Oh, that's so great.
And so those are some of the reasons that one might consider it. I alluded to it before, but I also find a lot of people in two other categories. One is the forced entrepreneur, which is someone who has been laid off and they're used to a pretty high level of income and they're in their 50s or maybe even 60s, early 60s. You know, you're not going to get back to that level of income and you're not quite ready to retire either financially or mentally. You've got more to give and you've got a little bit of capital. This is a good bridge from your 55, 60 to when you are ready to retire. It's a good bridge. And that's traditionally been the franchise owners. And the third, of course, is people who just have a lot of wherewithal and they want a side hustle and they're trying to diversify the portfolio. So there is those people too.
I love it. So two things I want to ask you here to break this down. One is, how much capital do people need? Like, I think this is the biggest question.
Yeah.
People maybe want to do it, but they think maybe sometimes they think they need this astronomical amount of money. Let's talk. What do they need realistically to get started?
Yeah. There is a big range, obviously, because there's home-based businesses where you're operating a whatever from home. You know, if you own a Budget Blinds, as an example, you don't have a warehouse anywhere. Sometimes they do down the road, but you're out of your home. Your inventory is in your garage when it comes in. You know, it's you. There's no employees. You're going out calling on people. That's a business. And we won't use that name brand, but, you know, generally speaking, that type of business, home services, you can get started with well under $100,000. And by the way, that's not because it's a franchise that it's $100,000. I am speaking to an all-in investment level, which includes franchise fee, initial inventory, initial marketing package, because they make you do some initial pre-sale, mark on pay-per-click, blah, 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 website development. And a little bit of working capital. You got to wrap your vehicle. So that's what we call an all-in investment that you will need to get your business launched. So less than $100,000 for a lot of businesses. And the way that works is you can easily go get a little loan for $75,000, $50,000 of that. Let's just say, let's be conservative. You should have a minimum. Here's my soapbox because I was a certified financial planner.
Yes.
And the franchises will say, oh, we just need you to have 50,000 liquid. Oh, really? And what they don't say, and what are you going to be living on? So, you know, basically in terms of liquid capital, yes, you might only need around 50,000. That's sort of a starting point so that you can qualify for a loan and whatever. But don't forget, you also have to have money that you will be living on until your business cash flows. So you got to work that out. And I'm good at that. And so we can talk about that later.
I love that. Okay. And second question on this topic is, what would you say is the most popular right now of these franchises? What industry?
Let's just say right off the bat, let's get rid of the food thing. Restaurants are always popular. A lot of people come in wanting restaurants. And I'll be honest, in my experience, restaurants are a hump. The labor model, the margins are skinny, the cost of goods, they're just a hump. So basically, my traditional advice is, have you owned restaurants before? Did you grow up in the restaurant business? If the answer is no, then just say no. Things that are hot right now, I would say anything in the wellness space. And it's because of this giant bulge, which otherwise known as the baby boomers. We are not going down easy. We want to have our knees, we want to have the blood taken out of our knees and spun and put back in. We are going to do whatever we need to do to stay fit, active, and healthy and look good while we're doing it. And so there's a broad category of those things, and that would include weight loss and hormone business and men's and women's and vitamin infusions and Botox and all of those things that you can think of, chiropractic. There's actually a pretty fast growing mental health franchise. So anything in that wellness area.
I love it. That's so good. Okay. So now we're going to move on to our topic of the four keys to consider. So we've talked about how much money you need. What is the hottest thing out there right now? So what do people want to get into? Let's talk about these four key things to consider before you even head into this area.
Okay. I might have five. Is that okay?
Oh, yes. Tell us everything we need to know, Jade.
I would say number one, what you need to know is how you're going to pay for it. Don't get started looking at sexy franchises until you have a budget. So there are ways to get pre-qualified, just like there are ways to get pre-qualified for a home. And beyond just qualifying, how are you going to pay your bills? You know, it's great if there's a secondary income. Maybe there's a spouse and you can live on that income stream for a while. Or maybe you have other rental income or something, but you better be prepared to have a secondary stream of income. So that's two. How are you going to initially pay? What's the initial budget? How are you going to fund it? You know, and that can be home equity, SBA. You can actually use 401k monies if you're severed from service. Lots of people do that. That's complicated. There's some good news and bad news about that. We won't get into it. So how are you going to pay for it? What's your budget? What are you going to live on? And one thing that I like to ask people is, how much time do you have? If you're keeping your job, what do you realistically think you'll be able to put time into this business in terms of your daily flexibility, in terms of on a weekly basis? And I guess the final thing is to be thinking of the fact that, what's the worst case scenario? What would happen if you lose everything? And never get in a position where that would be disaster.
Right. I've seen that happen. I saw a friend of mine started a restaurant and they used the equity in their home. And when the restaurant went under, they lost their home.
Yeah.
And that was like the most devastating. So I'm going to say this. You said, how much time do you have? My question is, how much time do you need? So just to give people an idea of, like,
yeah,
you know, this isn't an option for you if you don't have 50 hours a week. Or whatever it is. So what would you say on average? I know you can't exact, but.
Well, if you're going to be an owner operator, meaning you're not working anywhere else, this is going to be your thing. You're going to be in there putting in sweat equity. You will be working a lot. It doesn't matter how much time you think you're going to work. You're going to be in there a lot, and it is going to be 50 to 70 hours a week for the first 6 months. It just is. So that's the owner-operator model. Now, 3 years from now, it's going to look very, very different. Ideally, you now have a manager in place and you're hopping in 10, 20 hours a week, maybe. But initially, you're going to be all in. So if you're going to not leave your job and you are looking to maybe start something on the side, I would say you're going to need to find 20 to 30 hours a week. And depending on whether it's brick and mortar or not, you're going to need some flexibility in your schedule. Because what if you invest in a three-pack of a gym, a boutique fitness concept? Three-pack means you commit to three locations that you will open over a period of, say, 5 years. You get your first one open, you have a manager in place, great. Now your manager quits. Well, it's a brick and mortar business. Somebody has to open the doors. So if it's brick and mortar, you're going to need some flexibility. This is where we work with you on what is your flexibility. If you have no flexibility and you have 10 hours a week, then we're going to look at things like vending and other things like that, that maybe you're not going to bring in $100,000 a year, but you'll bring in side hustle money or things that you can do at night. There's a lot of things, commercial cleaning, things like that.
I love it. And here's a question for you. What if you have a company and you're interested in franchising it? Maybe you just solely own it right now. Is that something we could turn over to you and say, Jane, I've got this great business, this amazing company, and I want you to turn it into a franchise?
That you would not turn it over to me, but you will have a call with me first, and I will talk with you about what you need to do. And I have all the referral, you know, resources, and I know the people that do that, and we'll talk about how much capital that is. But no, that's how all franchises start. It's a mom and pop. They get their 5-10 years in, they're making $1 million revenue. They realize it's replicatable. It's very well branded. And they reach out to a franchise growth marketing team and a franchise attorney, and that's what happens. And sometimes they start with a little sign. Would you like to open one of these in your town? You've seen those signs. Sure. And that's how a lot of these big franchises started. You know, so yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love that so much. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Okay. Talk to me about women being suited for franchise.
I mean, I feel like, first of all, I will say that the number of women who own franchises has grown 83% since 2011. Sorry, I have to look at my notes.
Oh, no, that's okay.
And about 32% of franchises currently are owned by women. That's up from like almost nothing, you know, in the beginning of this century. First of all, we are good delegators typically. You know, these are gigantic generalizations, Cammie, but we don't have that ego that says nobody can do it the way I can do it, right? Some people probably do, but we're good delegators. We play well in the sandbox, meaning, you know, we're going to be respectful to our employees. We're going to be interested in collaborating with our fellow franchisees. That's a very significant quality that you need to have. Nobody wants someone in their system who's not going to share best practices, help out the franchise that's, you know, starting up, that's 10 miles over. I would say we generally are not afraid to have mentors. We're used to having mentors in corporate life. That's what your franchisor is a mentor. We will reach out and ask for help. Again, we don't. It's not about our ego. It's about we want to succeed. If your business is doing $1 million a year and my business is struggling to exceed 600, I will pick up the phone and call you and fly out to visit with you if you're willing to give me the time and I want to learn how you're doing it. So I think all of those things make us good franchise owners. We're good nurturers typically. And guess what that is? Employees. You have to be willing and able to nurture your employees. You know, we like the flexibility of owning our own business. So we can pick up the kids after school and get the kids off to school and not have to be in until 10:30. That's more about why we like it versus why we're good at it. But yeah, those are all things that make women the fastest growing owners of franchise that there is, period.
And I think what you just said is very interesting. We are good at it because we are doing all the things. We're running a home. So we're already running like this well-oiled machine. And so then we can step into this other thing and we're just, it's a continuation of the things we do at home, right? It's the leadership. It's the delegation. It's the time management, right? It's all of the things that we do when we run a home and raise a family is a lot of what happens inside of a business. So I think that's so cool. That is amazing.
I forgot the most important thing, and you said it, we're incredible multitaskers.
Yeah.
Have you ever watched your husband attempt to multitask? My husband will come home and he'll say, I did three things today. I'm exhausted. I'm like, I did three things last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, just a minute ago, while you were telling me that story, I did three things, right? Yeah.
And oh, that's all being a business owner is because you've got the marketing hat, you got the networking hat, you got the operations hat, you got the mommy hat to deal with your employees' problems. You know, you got all these things going on and guess what? You're doing it all.
And you're the accountant, right? And you're the lawyer and you're writing contracts and you're selling and you're, oh my goodness. It's exciting though. So exciting. And I love what you're saying because so many people I hear all the time say, I'd love to have my own business. You know, when people ask me what I do, they'll respond as I'd love to have my own business. So I feel like this is so great because I can be like, well, call Jane. She can help you with that, right? So we can get them on their way to their dream. Oh, this is so good. Anything else you want to share with our listeners about franchising that we haven't already talked about?
I mean, there's no guarantee of success. It they do have much lower risk of failure. One thing I like to encourage people is people sometimes want to have the perfect business, and the perfect business might be beyond your financial capabilities right now, but you can do in franchising what people do with houses. So you can have a starter business. And the starter business maybe isn't your dream business, but it's a nice little profitable business that you can start and sell it 5 years down the road for enough money to then have to start your dream business. And the other thing that's common in the franchise world is you can build a portfolio of businesses. Many, 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 many multimillionaires have started by doing just that, where they start with one business, you know, four locations. Now they add a secondary business that maybe has the same customer base. So think things like pool cleaning. And now you launch landscaping. And now you launch pest control, mosquitoes, whatever. And these are the same employees, technicians, that you could, this could all be run out of one centralized office. You can have a gigantic portfolio of home service businesses and it diversify that way. And many, many people do that. I know a guy in Boulder that runs about 250 Carl's Juniors, 100 Hardee's, and I don't know how many, what his other concept is. I think it might be Taco Bell's, out of one corporate office with 60 employees.
I think that's brilliant because it's the same employees that do the work. They're just working on different projects. That is amazing. That now there's goals right there. Those are franchise goals, right? And he's not worried about any of it. I'm sure he's on vacation. So, you know, right?
Going I mean, to that's an empire. Place. And most yes. people are not that kind of empire builders, but you know, yeah. you can build a mini empire quite easily and for not a lot of money in that home service space and some others. Yeah.
I love that. Oh, that's so great. Jane, this is amazing. Thank you so much for sharing this. I'm excited for so many reasons. I can't wait for us to talk off air. So, but let's do this. Let's talk about, I know you have two things here. One is your free psychometric assessment. So tell me about that and how people can get that.
Right. In our world, franchise world, Many, many, especially established franchises, will have you complete something like this. There's about four or five on the market. And basically what they have done is profiled their top half of their class franchisees, top half of the class performers, looking for specific traits. And these traits typically come down to seven or eight meta-analyses, things like your cultural biases, things like your work style, things like your values. And, you know, people think they are simplistic, and they are, but I can't tell you how many times when people complete this and they get an auto report back, they say to me, this is amazingly accurate. So anyway, I subscribe to a service and I will provide this to your listeners for free. It's actually on my website and it's on my YouTube channel, I believe. And so if you find your franchises waiting on YouTube, you can look at Find Your Franchise. And I think all those resources are there. They're certainly on my website. And it will say, take our business assessment. And it's very interesting and it's free.
I love that so much. I'm going to do it just for fun, I think, because I want to know what I need to know. Oh, I love it. And then you also have eBooks. So tell us a little bit about your eBooks and how people can get them and what they'll learn from those.
Good. Yeah. So I learned early on that you can't spend enough time with somebody to educate them on all the things that I know, frankly, and that they should know. And maybe they're not willing to go out and read a 400-page. There's a lot of good books out there that have been written. So I created eBooks on what I feel are like four basic areas you need to know. One is I have an eBook that's just kind of a franchising 101. What's the language? What's the contract going to look like? All kinds of things like that. What are the fees? What are typical fees? Then I have one. Oh, I have one called Branded. That similar book with some extra things, but that is branded as The Girlfriend's Guide to Franchising. So you can just actually Google that and you'll get right to my site in the download. I have one on the funding piece because that's the piece that I think people have a lot of misconceptions around. It's not easy to get a loan. You can't walk into your bank and get a loan for a startup franchise. That's a no-go. That's what the SBA is for. And the SBA is complicated and kind of onerous. And right now the interest rates aren't that great. So anyway, there's a lot of different ways people fund. And so I created a book on the options and the good and bad about each of those options. I created an ebook on what that whole due diligence process is going to look like because it's quirky. Franchise sales is highly regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. And there's certain things that can be said and not be said. So over the years, there's been this structured, processed way that the franchisors vet potential franchisees. A, they want to see if you can follow a process. And B, they want to kind of make sure you understand just what you need to understand and not more, because they're not going to divulge their trade secrets. And then you do this and then you do that. And there's specific ways that you vet franchise opportunities. So I have a book on that. And then I have one just specifically on what it looks like if you're going to use your rollover funds, because there's so many complications around that. But it is a good option for a lot of people.
I love it. That's amazing. So tell our listeners where they can find you.
Great. So my website is Your Franchise is Waiting. You can go on YouTube and it's Find Your Franchise or Your Franchise is Waiting. I'm on all the socials, LinkedIn, my name. And if you get to my website, all those eBooks are there and they have links and the assessment.
Amazing. Awesome. Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to check all that out. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for being invincible and for sharing all of this amazing knowledge with us today. I love that so much.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode. And just before we get to the good stuff, right? The good, the bad, and the ugly, I have this great announcement for you. We are starting the Pod Power Hour, which is a virtual event that's going to happen on Wednesdays at noon Eastern. And so if you've ever thought about having a podcast, if you have questions, If you are a podcaster and you want to come and meet other podcasters and learn what's new, what's happening, tips and tricks to be better at this amazing passion of podcasting that you have, we would love for you to join us. We're going to have experts there that are going to be sharing their genius. It's going to be amazing. So, and if you're a host and you want to come meet some amazing people that could be potential guests for you on your show, come on out. What a great way to get exposure. Be sure to check it out on my website at CammieLehman.com, as well as follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Whatever is your favorite platform, we will have registration there. You do need to register to attend. And it is on Zoom. So super simple, just 1 hour every other Wednesday. We start on May 4th. So don't miss out. Get registered today. We can't wait to see you there.
You have moved from fighting cancer to discovering how to live beyond it. But what now? With so many emotional side effects still unknown, as a new survivor, you find yourself in a void as you navigate through the isolation, fear, and an uncertain future that can overshadow you and your family for years to come. Instead of focusing on the uncertainty of cancer, consider how strong and determined you are, and think of the strength demonstrated by those who stood beside you through it all. Consider this. You now get to choose who you want to be, and what your intentional, fulfilled life can look like. You made it through treatment. We can help you define yourself as a survivor. We're here to help you through this moment, to walk beside you as you shift your mindset from counting the days of life to creating a legacy. For more information, visit www.adventuretherapyfoundation.org or contact us at info@adventurefound.org.
But we're not done, because on She's Invincible, we promise our listeners that while we're featuring fierce entrepreneurs and we're sharing their expert zone of genius, that we're also going to pull back the curtain. You see, people, they look at your life now and they hear you speak and they hear about the fun that you're having and the way you're helping other people. And they're thinking, she's so lucky. They have no idea the price you paid for the life you live today. So we are going to pull back the curtain and we're going to share some stories with them so they can see that, yes, you are living in this success and this great life today, but there was a price you paid and it was worth it, right? Everyone thinks like, oh, they make it look so easy. And then someone will go, and you, I'm sure you've seen this in franchising a million times. They get out there and they're like, this is so hard, right? They have no idea. They it looks so easy. So we just want to remind them that it is hard, but it's worth it, and you can do it, and you can succeed if you never give up. So are you ready to tell some stories?
I am. Thank you.
Great. Awesome. Okay. Let's start with the good. I love to hear the story about the good or the greatest part of your journey so far. So share with us that.
The good was, and this gets preceded by the bad, which I'll talk about next. But the good was, when I was 28 years old, I did not graduate college. You'll hear why in a moment. And I was living with my mother. I was sort of starting over at 28. And she said to me, she had just gone through a divorce in her late 40s. And she said, Jane, the number one thing you have to learn is how to handle your money. And I wish I had, and you should try and be a stockbroker. And I was kind of not that interested in it, but there was an ad in the paper, and I went down to a hotel where E.F. Hutton, the regional directors, were interviewing people to be stockbrokers. I had none of the things that they were looking for, literally none of the things that they said was a prerequisite. I had chutzpah. And I interviewed, and the end result is I was the only one hired out of 400 interviewees that day. And afterwards, the regional guy said to me, you know, it's interesting. He said, you have about the worst math skills that I've ever seen. You know, you had to do a test.
Yes.
And he said, but you also have the highest sales aptitude, literally, that I have ever seen in my career. And so we're going to give you a shot. And that's how I got into the business.
That was the best decision he ever made, I bet. I love your chutzpah. Oh my gosh, that cracks me up. I love it so much. Okay. Oh, that's great. Okay. Tell us a story about the bad part. We'll save the ugly for last.
Okay.
But tell us a story about the bad part of the journey.
This was my life interrupted moment. When I was in college, I was a sophomore in college. I get a call from my mom and she says, don't come home for summer vacation. I'm leaving your father and we're selling the house. Like out of the blue, there were no indications. She was waiting for me to leave. I was the last kid out of the house and I didn't have a house to go to. And I had never worked for anyone but my father, who had jewelry stores. And I was quite naive. I grew up in Iowa, very sheltered little Jewish princess. And I answered an ad in the paper about a job. And I go down to, a hotel. And there's all these really good looking people, men, women, my age, very charismatic. And the job was selling encyclopedias door to door, which I didn't quite snap to. That's what it was. But they said it's sales and we get to see all these places and blah, blah, blah. And the long and short of it was I took off and went all over the country and sold encyclopedias door to door for 7 years. It was a bit of a cult. But I did learn incredible sales skills that served me well. Hence the conversation with the regional guy who took a shot at me, because while I didn't have any of the other things he was looking for, I had very high sales aptitude because of that experience. That experience made me unbelievably resourceful. It wasn't easy. There was a lot of things that went down and I had to grow up very, very quickly. So that was my life interrupted. But from that experience, that led to the experience of being ultimately one of the most successful stockbrokers within that system, which was E.F. Hutton and then Shearson. And then ultimately, when I retired, it was Morgan Stanley. I stayed in the same corner office. I wish I had kept all my business cards, but we went through all those iterations. And when I retired, it was Morgan Stanley.
Oh my goodness. That would have been neat to have a little collection of those business cards, right?
It's true.
Oh my gosh. But you never forget. No. All right. Tell us about ugly. Everyone has ugly. We just don't talk about it because that's not what brings success. But today we're going to talk about it to encourage the people to not give up.
Yeah. I mean, the ugly was very much what your last guest that I listened to, Abby, was talking about, because she's in the same industry. You know, remember that I got into this industry in all through the 90s. I mean, I got in the business in the early 80s. And during the 80s and during the 90s, it was quite common for me to be the only woman in the office, quite common for me to be the only woman at conferences, where guess what? All the men want to hook up with you. They're all married. It's just bad behavior. But I was the only female present. There was a lot of sexism in the bullpen. There was a lot of unfairness. One of the dirty little secrets about our business is when a broker leaves, let's say Morgan Stanley, to go to, whoever it is these days, there is a mad scramble to call their accounts to get their accounts to stay. And that is how very, very large books of business have been built by good old boys. It was a good old boy network back then. You hung out with the sales manager by going to his country club and playing golf. I was never invited. That's who got the inherited accounts. That's what they're called. Sometimes those inherited accounts were $15, $20 million. You know what I got? The $2,000 IRA that was a female. That's what I got. And that was very, very common and things like that. And so systemic in the industry that my firm was, which was Smith Barney at the time, and you can look this up, look up the Boom Boom Room lawsuit in 1996. And I was a participant in that lawsuit where Smith Barney admitted that there was complete unfairness in the way they distributed inherited accounts and the way promotions were made and everything else. But, you know, I took it in stride. I put my head down and worked and I remained a top producer and I never carried bitterness. And it was what it was. And it changed over time. Culture changes. There's a, you know, things evolve and things get better. And I suspect there's still a little bit of that, but it's very underground today.
Mm. And, you know, it's great that you were a part of holding them accountable, right? Yeah. Because that does make change. And I think, you know, even if we can't change it, if we can hold people accountable, the changes will just evolve. And I think that's what's really happening now is more and more people are stepping up and speaking up and standing up for themselves. And I think we need more of that, which is kind of now we're full circle as when we started. And I was saying, like, I think if we can get more money into women's hands, right? Because women know what to do with it. They have the empathy and the passion and they have that drive and they know what to do with it. And the world really will be a better place. So I hope the women that are listening here on She's Invincible will play it again, right? A little louder for all the women in the back of the room and that they'll step forward and reach out to you and find out what they can do to play a part in this franchise world, because this is just an amazing opportunity. I think for everyone, but I'm advocating for women too. And I love that that's where your heart is. So thank you so much. Anything, any last words, final sentences you have for these listeners today, Jane?
I guess, you know, you can think about building wealth in the stock market or you could and savings, or you could think about building wealth through business ownership and real estate, I guess, being your third option. These are very viable tracks. What's great about owning a business is it's 100% in your control. And that's very empowering. It's on you to make it. And it just feels so good when you do.
I love it. Oh my gosh, you guys. Oh, this has been so great. Make sure to reach out to Jane. Check out her YouTube channel. And don't forget to take the free assessment that she has here for you, because this could really make sense of all the thoughts that you've been having in your mind. And you could find out once and for all, is this for you? Should you pursue it? Do you have what it takes? And what's a good fit for you? Oh my gosh, Jane, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for helping me today to empower these women and make a difference in this crazy world. And to our listeners, I don't know where you are in your life or your business, but if you're face down on the ground right now, get back up. You heard it from Jane, and you can do it. You can do anything. Just get back up. Thank you for joining us today. If you were inspired or learned something new, please follow the show, submit a rating and review, and share us with your friends. If you would like to chat to see if you can attract your ideal client and monetize your business through podcasting, please book a free call with me at CammieLehman.com. I can't wait to meet you.